Good afternoon and welcome to the Mr. Relevant podcast. It is Tuesday, September 19th, 2 days after the Commanders went into Denver and won 35-33, and many months since our last podcast. Here to join me, it's a man who needs no introduction, Matt Turrell. Hey, Matt.
Hi, Jamie. I suspect I do need an introduction. I don't think anybody knows who either of us are at this point.
It's been so long. I mean, it begs the question, why even bother? Why even bother?
Well, it's, believe it or not, we are here, I don't know if we can say by popular demand, but by at least some demand. People actually ask both you and I separately, you and me separately, whatever, to bring the pod back. So here we are. Hi, everybody. Hi.
See, the thing is, I've already got podcasts to listen to. Like the Commanders podcast specifically. I listened to the JP and Mitch Tischler. I listened to the Burgundy blog, which is back. There are several that I don't, find the time for, but I'm sure are good.
Yeah.
This is unnecessary, other than for you and I just to talk to one another. Really, this is just a recorded call between friends.
Yeah, it's some sort of weird pathology for us both, where we are incapable of catching up in even the most casual fashion unless we are recording it and broadcasting it to an audience of literally dozens.
So, and I don't know. It took the whole offseason, including the sale of the team and Snyder being gone, and then not one but two regular season wins for us to actually make it happen. So we have a lot to catch up on. Where would you like to begin?
I don't know. It all seems. How do you feel? How has all of that? I want to begin in the biggest place. How has all that changed everything for you in watching and engaging with the team? Does it feel any different, or is it mostly the same?
No, it feels slightly different. I mean, it just feels like it feels lighter. We don't have a racist name anymore, and we don't have an asshole of an owner. So you can kind of root for the franchise without those reservations, but they're still bad. So it's not like it's good. It's just like you don't have that kind of weight to it that I feel like dragged us down for a long time. And now it's just about like, okay, will they actually be a legit contender for the first time in over 30 years? That's how I feel.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I mean, I think it's different because I don't know that they're still bad because I don't know anything. I feel like I used this analogy on Mike before, but it feels like one of those movies where someone can see the future and they finally manage to change the event that's going to, cause Skynet or whatever. And the movie ends with them being like, now I don't know what's in the future. Like, that's how I feel about
it's wide open.
Yeah. It could be anything. Like, we knew before that the team was capped because Snyder's incompetence was such that whether through direct action, accidental action, inaction, or simply the ripple effects of his presence, lawsuits, distractions, federal raids, whatever. In one way or another, it was capped at the 500-ish, 7-9 win season. They never had a chance to go beyond that. And now, if nothing else, that cap is gone. They could be as bad as any other team has been. They could go 0-16, but they could also be good, which was just literally never a possibility before. And I have no idea. I have no default to go to where it's like, well, these three games went well, so surely it's time for the wheels to come off. Like, I just don't know anything. It's crazy.
Well, that's well said, because it does feel, I guess maybe that's where the lightness is coming from for me, is like it just doesn't feel like everything is doomed. It always felt like just a doomed franchise, even if things were going well. If we were 6-3 one year at some point, you knew the quarterback was going to break his leg or whatever was going to occur, and it wasn't going to end well. But the thing also, and maybe you're a little different, being in DC, you probably just absorb more about Josh Harris and have more conversations about all of this with people. He's still kind of just like an empty vessel for me. I don't really know anything about him. I've kind of created this avatar of him where he's just a normal guy who lives in my neighborhood but has a really nice car and probably a very big boat. So I don't know. I don't really know how to feel about him other than he's not Dan Snyder.
I keep hearing people say this, and I don't know that I need to feel anything different about him for a very long time. Snyder was so bad at owning a football team and at owning, in fact, anything, and as near as I can tell, at business and probably life, that not being Snyder represents a quantum improvement on everything. I will say, I don't know much about Harris himself, but like what I know about Mitch Rales, as you know, the guy who has that weird art museum out here in Potomac, is like great, because I know I've said this before, it is that Glenstone Museum is literally, if there was somehow a place could be the polar opposite of a person, it is the opposite of Dan Snyder. It is weird, it is artsy, it is idiosyncratic, it is open to the public, it is beautiful, it is, and so that's one guy that's on Harris's team, so I know that much. So like, okay, cool. Magic Johnson, I have to admit, I'm not as enamored of Magic as everybody else is. I mean, I think he's great, he seems like a good dude, he seems like a good owner, he seems very earnest and no pun intended and enthusiastic, but he's better than anything they had before. Just all of the signs and indicators sure seem to be that whatever Harris is, whatever just better than Dan Snyder he is, it is a marked, huge difference as a human being.
Why did you say no pun intended after you said Ernest?
Because I mixed up.
You think
up
that his name is Ernest Magic Johnson?
I mixed it up. I'm glad you caught that and called me on it, because I realized it as soon as I said it.
I'm so glad that that's why you said that.
Well, I mean, it could be that there's like Ernest and Irvin sound alike. I don't know, man. I'm part of the problem. I'm why Winning Time got canceled. I'm sorry. You figured me out.
I'm dying over here. Ernest Magic Johnson.
Yeah. Well.
Now I like having him around. Cause now, you know, like one of the long running jokes on Twitter is like he just posts like kind of a recap of whatever just happened, very straightforward, but with exclamation points. Well, now he does that about the Commanders games. So you can always get your trusty recap from Magic.
But the funny thing is, it doesn't bother me with the Commanders games. With the Commanders games, I'm like, man, look how enthusiastic he is about things. Mm-hmm. That's great. Whereas when it was just about like whatever was happening on his television, I'm like, this guy's a moron, says the guy who just called him by the wrong name.
Ernie, everybody knows Magic. Ernest Magic Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Good old Ernest. He reminds me of star Redskins running back Irvin Byner.
It does seem like we have like a star-studded affair here now. Like, there's not really stars on the team. I'm not talking about that. But it's like Magic's around and McConaughey's around and KD's at the game. And I think Michael Rubin from Fanatics was not that he's a star, but, you know, he's got some weight. Earnhardt Jr., I think. He's still with us, right?
I believe you mean Ernest Jr.
Dale Ernest Jr. But we're 2-0. That makes everything better. It's the first time since 2011. You know, my son was born in 2010. He's probably been rooting for them since 17, 18, kind of, you know.
I can't believe Child Protective Services lets you get away with that.
I know. Well, I tried to make him a Steelers fan, like our neighbors, at a very young age. It didn't take, and he's full in on Commanders now. I just think it's so funny. Have you looked back at what that 2011 team was? Do you recall
anything about that? Was 2011 the RG3 team, or was that
2012 was RG3.
Okay, so that was that like the John Beck year?
Very good call. It was, first of all, Rex Grossman, who was starting when they went 2-0. He started the game that got them there. He threw two interceptions, shocking, I know, and they beat Arizona by 1 point to start 2-0. They would finish the year 5-11. You know, that's how you get up into the RG3 range.
Yeah,
well, that
very good.
And trading two picks. But yeah, that was Mike Shanahan coach team, and Rex was the starting QB. I'm spending time on my football reference here, so you know. So Rex Grossman started 13 games. John Beck started 3. They combined to throw 24 interceptions. So this is the best Commanders team since that. If you were feeling good about it, hopefully you're not any longer.
Nope, still feeling good about it, because that team, I remember never once feeling like they were any good, and this had nothing to do with Snyder. That was just like, you just had to watch them, and it was bad. Whereas this team, I can't tell. They might be okay, maybe. It's like, yeah. The middle part of stuff seems good.
Well, let's just start at, well, maybe not at the top, because that would be like Rivera and Bieniemy. But hell, I don't know. Whatever. We'll start there. It's fun having Bieniemy around. But I'm already a little concerned, because I feel like if it works out, it's going to go the way of him leaving to become a head coach somewhere else. And if it doesn't work out, well, that's not great either.
I am convinced. So
I don't know. I'm already kind of torn about this. This is a little bit of like Snyder syndrome, I feel like. You know, it's a little bit of the doom creeping back in.
Well, I'm convinced that there's something already in place where, I mean, my suspicion.
Plan?
Yes, correct. My suspicion is that Rivera will step into some, you know, general manager role or football ops role or president role or something.
Commander.
And yeah. Oh, God almighty. That's awful. Yes. That's exactly what Jason Wright would come up with. Yes. And Bieniemy will be the head coach. Now, part of this is just sort of, it kind of makes sense. Part of it is so many of Ron's like unforced errors, dumb things he says, feel like somebody who's just like, nah, screw it. Like, I'm not going to be around next year. And part of it is, I don't know if you remember, it's a really specific incident on the app formerly known as Twitter, but somebody, I think it was Pete Haley, was tweeting something about Bieniemy and why he wasn't a head coach or whatever. And Josina Anderson responded with this like incredibly cryptic, incomprehensible tweet about discussions that had already taken place that would make everything come clear later on or something like that. And I just kind of suspect that's what she was alluding to. It would make sense to me, and it would make sense of the lateral move, which, as much as they've been like, yeah, he had to get out of Andy Reid's shadow, it still kind of doesn't make sense that Bieniemy took the position. So that's my suspicion, and that's at least what, if nothing else, it's what I'm telling myself to help me not have that feeling of dread that you're discussing.
Well, and for now, it's enough to just feel good that he's calling the plays, that he's in charge of the offense. I mean, during the Scott Turner era, or really just about any of the eras, it never felt good offensively. What did we average last year? Like 17 points a game, 18 points a game, something like that.
You could tell me any number that is like lower than 20, and I believe you.
I believe it was under 20. And week one was, you know, very similar to that, but they scored 35 points at Denver. That was what, their most in like 4 years?
And more than that, if you're counting offense only, I believe. I think if you count offense only, it goes back some ridiculous span of time. And not just that, none of it felt fluky. It didn't feel like, it didn't take an 18-minute drive of 3-yard runs and 18 penalties and whatever else to get downfield. There was a combination of throwing and running and even screen passes. It looked like a team that was running an offense the way it hasn't looked since, you know, Shanahan then McVay left. You know, I don't know. It's weird.
Well, and here's the thing with Howell in charge. It's fun because it does have that sense of feeling wide open, like a really wide range of outcomes. And I know he was whatever, fifth round quarterback, and you know, Sunday was his third start. But if he had been like the number 10 overall pick 2 years ago and was playing like this, it would seem like, oh wow, this number 10 pick, he might have it. You know, we might have hit on
absolutely.
That.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel with him as a fifth round pick. But something occurred to me
as a fifth round pick. Yeah, like you'd get great for a fifth rounder. But like, if you just swapped the draft positions, you would suddenly be like, we might have a blue chipper here.
Well, let's do more than that. You're sitting in front of your computer, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Look up the quarterbacks drafted in 2022, mm-hmm. And which was, you know, along with Howell, and. Mm-hmm. A few things occur to me. First of all, I want us to look and see how many of them we genuinely believe are better than Howell and Brock Purdy, who was taken last.
Okay,
in that draft.
I haven't done this, so this is great. This ranking is as of May 1st, 2022. So this is right after that draft had occurred. Mm-hmm. Number one taken in the third round, Malik Willis.
Okay.
Number two taken first round, 20th overall, Kenny Pickett.
I'd rather have Howell. I mean, mainly because they look kind of similar in some ways, but I'll take Howell in the fifth over Pickett in the first for sure.
I think definitely. But I think I'd rather have Howell over Pickett straight up. But Pickett's a good comp for what I'm saying, because since he was a first rounder and he has played like all right and played really well in the preseason, there was like more enthusiasm for him than I think there was for Howell. But anyways, Howell, by this ranking was the third best quarterback in that draft, even though he went in the fifth round. Number four was Desmond Ridder, third rounder starter. Number five was
Howell over Ridder, in case that wasn't a given.
Yeah, sorry, I'm with you on that. I would take Heinicke over Ridder too, and I think Atlanta will pretty soon. Number five was Matt Corral.
Yeah.
Third rounder, who I think might be out of the league at the moment.
Last I heard, it was awkward. He was backing up in New England, but he New England traded for him as a backup, but he had sort of disappeared with some like depression issues or something. And I actually never heard if the situation got resolved or not. So either way, certainly did nothing on the field to put him ahead of Howell and, you know, whatever else is going on. We can just move on.
We'll give it a hell yeah on that one. Number six was a guy I've never heard of, Chris Oladokun, drafted in the seventh round by the Steelers out of South Dakota State. Gonna go with Howell.
Go with Howell, yeah.
Number seven, Bailey Zappe, fourth rounder. I didn't realize he was a fourth rounder. That's higher than Howell. Okay, I'd rather have Howell. Number eight is Purdy, seventh rounder. I think this is where on the whole, if you were to throw it out to like the whole league, I think Purdy would be the overwhelming favorite there.
But who knows? It's impossible to say because Purdy is so good with Kyle Shanahan's system, and he's such a perfect fit for that. But it seems like he might be comparable to Howell in if he weren't in Shanahan's system. They just, something about them seems kind of,
and then
they're all in that Baker Mayfield sort of zone.
The last quarterback from that draft, and I will say this has been fun. Thank you. And this has been a very shitty quarterback draft. Number nine is Skylar Thompson, seventh round Dolphins.
He had a couple starts down in Miami, I believe.
Post to a. But anyways, I'm happy with Howell. I don't really know what he's going to be yet, but it certainly looks like he could be, at least an average quarterback, an average starting quarterback. Strong, accurate arm, good wheels, lots of tipped balls, I guess, is the criticism. And week one, like, the offense did not really get going. I wonder how much of that's on Howell, how much of the offensive line. But all in all, got to be happy with what he's turned out to be so far.
When we were watching week one, it looked to me like the majority of the sacks were on Howell not getting rid of the ball when he was supposed to, not getting rid of the ball quickly enough. Mm-hmm. The people I was watching with felt like it was more offensive line. None of us actually know anything, so make of that what you will. But I felt like it improved by the second week. I think that's my biggest concern with him is decisiveness, and we'll see if it keeps improving. One thing I wanted to say, though, about the draft that occurred to me also is, unless I'm mixing up my years, which is very easy with the way the world went, these were the guys that like were playing during the COVID season and weren't scouted right. And, I wonder how much that's affecting things and affected where people were drafted.
Well, they kind of had like almost like a double COVID season, because like 2020 and 21, they went in the 22 draft. So like, both of their, like Howell was the starter for UNC, both of those kind of whack seasons.
Yeah. But it just,
and I mean, I think after Howell's junior year or whatever it was, his 2020 year, I mean, there was talk at one point of him being a top pick, and then whatever, his final season didn't go as well and he tumbled all the way down the board.
Well, it just made me wonder, because I was watching Kenny Pickett last night and I was like, what on earth did people see that put this guy four rounds ahead of Howell? Like, leaving aside the question of who's better, who's worse, what's situational, what's not. I was just, to my amateur eye, I was like, I don't get it. Like, and then I was like, oh wait, maybe scouts weren't able to really evaluate it either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I feel happy about Howell.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, happy about like the offense generally. Like, we've said this for, it feels like at least a year, but really the last couple of years, like, they've assembled this arsenal of weapons where it's like, McLaurin and Dotson and, Samuel and Brown at receiver and Robinson Jr. and Gibson at running back. Tight end's not great, but you can win with that group of skill position players.
Have we heard, is Logan Thomas officially you know, done for his career. It just feels like,
I don't know, man. It was brutal.
It was brutal. And he's had, unless I'm mixing him up with Jordan Reed, he's had concussions before, right?
Yeah, I believe so. But yeah, similar set of issues there.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if that was it for Logan Thomas, which would leave them with a major, major problem at tight end, I think. Unless you believe in Cole Turner, who knows?
Turner and Bates. And, you know, at least Bieniemy hasn't relied on, you know, great tight end play in the past.
No, I mean, barely at all. It's like, you know, I don't think he even needs a tight end.
Right. What else do you want to say about the offense? Anything?
The offensive line has looked a little better than I expected. I'll give him that. Jahan Dotson has been quieter than I expected. I thought he was going to be much more impactful this season. And so far he's been pretty,
well, you know, they didn't score much and they didn't move the ball much week one. And then week two, like, they really spread it around. I'm looking at the box score. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys had multiple catches.
Yeah, I believe they're saying that was like a record for the team.
Oh, really? I had not heard that. But yeah, I mean, it jumps off the page. Like, there's just only so many targets to go around when you're throwing it to 9 guys.
Yep. So, I mean, who knows?
There was some crazy screen game action. I know there's a lot of, you know, excitement about that with Bieniemy coming in.
I really liked it too. It was exciting to see the difference, similar on a much, much, much smaller and less important scale. The difference between Scott Turner and Bieniemy has been almost as pronounced as the difference between Daniel Snyder and no Daniel Snyder, just scaled down. But like, could I have put my finger on what it was that Scott Turner was bad at? I could not. And you could go back and listen to a lot of podcast episodes where I try. But he was just not good. He was not good at sequencing calls. He just didn't seem to have a feel for how to make the most of his personnel. Maybe he was getting run over by Rivera or something. But like, Bieniemy, if nothing else, just seems like a guy who knows what he's doing in some indefinable way that Turner did not.
And I don't know, he's just got like kind of a gravity to him as well, or a gravitas. Maybe I'm confusing those two things.
I don't know.
Like, the report in the preseason that he was like being too hard on the players was like the funniest, most ridiculous shit I've ever heard. Like, a team that's done nothing forever has a new coach that there's like a news cycle, 24-hour-long news cycle about how he might be too hard on the players in practice. I couldn't think of another storyline that would make the players look more absurd.
No, and I would also say that when you have a game where you go down by 18 or whatever it was and then stay conditioned and rally back in at altitude on a reasonably hot day, I bet all those practices actually helped in hindsight more than a little rest and relaxation would have.
Well, let's talk about the defense.
Sure.
Loved to see Chase Young on the field. Loved to see him and Sweat meeting at the quarterback, you know, with Allen and Payne in the middle, you know, 4 first rounders when they're intact, presumably a you know, elite defensive line. But yeah, it felt like the end of 21 when they went on that run to the Heinicke, you know, wild card game or whatever we're calling that, the one where the Heinicke game, and they lost to the Buccaneers. You know, it felt great about the Washington defense and especially the front and the future. And then it just went off the rails after that. Until now, I don't know. Question mark.
I had forgotten Chase Young looking good. I had forgotten the possibility that he might actually live up to the hype. So when Payne started the season looking great and Sweat started the season looking great, I was kind of like, And Allen always looks good. I was like, all right, cool. You know, 3 out of 4 ain't bad. So this game, seeing Chase Young contribute and remembering that, like, there's the possibility that he could still live up to what everyone thought. Yes, I would say that seems very good and very promising and might even make up for having virtually 0 linebackers, which was a bold strategy.
Gosh, I actually skipped a year. That had been so far. It was not the 21 season that ended in that playoff, you know, the 7-9 division championship. It was the 20 season. So it was really since like January of 21, you know, almost 3 years ago.
No, that can't be right.
Yeah, man. They won the division. They won the division in the 2020 season. That was Young's rookie season.
Okay, so that ends with
Heinicke.
losing the game. Then we go into the next year, and that's the Ryan Fitzpatrick year, right?
Yes, and then last year was the Carson,
Wentz year.
But really, okay, both years ended up being the Taylor Heineke years.
Yes, that's what it was. I had forgotten that that happened that
I missed
many
the
times.
I skipped
Oh,
the
my yeah. God. Wow.
In two full seasons since, like, that promise was, you know, unkept.
Yeah, right, right, because that was the other thing, was so from a young perspective, he had the season where he ended strong, then he had the season where he started weak and got injured, and then he had the season where he spent most of it not coming back and continuing to be injured.
So, all right. So his rookie season was, you know, defensive rookie of the year, Pro Bowler, division championship, 7-9. They can't take that away from us, Matt.
No.
I was wearing second my shirt. Year I was wearing was my nine shirt games. The other day. It's great. Yeah. WTF happened. Or WFT happened.
Yeah, that's it.
His second season played 9 games, 1.5 sacks. Last season played 2 or 3 games, 0 sacks. So then when it was announced that he was gonna miss week one this week, it had basically just been like 2+, you know, 2 seasons and counting of nothing. I was really like digging back in on my take about how the fuck could you not take Justin Herbert or Tua all the way back in spring of 2020 when you needed a quarterback and two were going in the top 6 and you're picking second. I was really digging in on that. And to be honest, still am, but at least this one week in Denver made me feel a little bit better about it.
I think it's going to be okay. I think Sam Howell, I think having an affordable quarterback is arguably the best, you know, whatever you want to say, cheat code or whatever, the best roster building strategy on the planet. Having anybody under market value, especially when you're defensive lineman or not, is obviously a good thing. But it just seems like, I don't know, it seems like based on the evidence of the last couple few drafts, that if you just keep shooting for a 3rd to 5th round quarterback until you find one, that's your best way to have a window. Because many of these first round guys flame out. Even Tua, you know, yes, he looks spectacular when he's on the field, but I mean, he's one bad head hit away from that not being an issue. Herbert, like, looks great, puts up great stats, seems fantastic, but it doesn't seem to be helping the team.
Well, I mean, could I interest you in a Bailey Zappe? You know, if we want some mid-round quarterbacks, I've got a Chris Oladunkin. There's several from the 2022 draft.
Right, but the point is, if you keep taking them, you can get rid of them quickly, and the investment isn't as great, and the spent opportunity cost isn't as great until you accidentally, even if it's pure just dart throws, eventually you're bound to wind up with a Howell instead of a Zappe.
Who are the quarterbacks that Washington has taken? I mean, RG3 and Kirk Cousins and Sam Howell, but how about in between that? Who am I forgetting?
Haskins would be the biggest ticket one.
RIP, yeah.
Yeah, which, but again, like, leaving aside the tragic end to his life, from a purely football perspective, it was clear he was not worth a first round pick. Like, could he have been a guy who, you know, had he lived, who he could have succeeded at Pittsburgh where the expectations were lower and he had come, you know, as just sort of a guy and not as a first round pick? Maybe, but I would much rather have taken whoever else was on the board in the first round than him.
I got one for you. All right. Nate Sudfeld.
Sure.
He's still in the league. Yeah. Well, I started down this path because I was like, oh, Kirk Cousins, 4th round, Sam Howell, 5th round. Maybe we and you are onto something. But anyway, well, moving past that. The defensive line, I would just love if, I mean, obviously it's the identity of the team. It's their strongest unit. I would just love if they could keep it together and have like a dominant, you know, identity creating season, you know, where they're, I don't know, like the modern day Hogs, but on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know. If the team's going to go anywhere, I feel like they need that to happen.
That leads me to another question we haven't really discussed in great detail, which is the name. You know, I feel like if they have a season this year, regardless of result, but if they have a season where they look like a professional organization, they win some games, they create some memories, they get people a little excited, I think suddenly the name doesn't look nearly as bad.
I mean, I think the name is fine. I don't really like it, but I don't really care. I don't really know like what we're all going to rally around that would be better. And I think it's a pain in the ass, to say the least, to do it all over again. So I don't know. It's the name is just kind of whatever to me. Like, just give me a 10 win season, you know, give me an 11 win season. The Commanders is fine.
I agree. I also think that people are going to find that whatever other name they come up with, they're not going to like anymore. And I already don't associate Commanders with Dan Snyder. I associate him more with Jason Wright than Dan Snyder. And I know for some people that's right. almost as bad. But right. for me, it's like, who cares, man? Whatever. It's fine.
Yeah. And also, I'm still like on my back foot about like what to call them without thinking about it. Like, I still say Redskins by accident. I'll still say football team. Like, I have to think about it to say Commanders. I don't want to go into the future having to think about what the hell to call my football team.
I agree. Although I got so drilled into just using Washington and various permutations of it when I was writing for city papers, it's a little easier for me. And I do like, maybe this is hypocritical, maybe it's paradoxical, I don't know. But I like that they've started acknowledging that, like, it was the Redskins. And when you refer to what they did in the past, those are Redskins records, they were Redskins Super Bowls. I think it's fine. I think we've shown, by changing the name, you've said, all right, we accept that this was wrong and we don't want to perpetuate that, but we don't have to rewrite the history that's what it was. It's fine. You know, I don't think it's offensive to mention it, at least in my mind. And I think I'm pretty much of a softie for this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. It does turn my skin though when I'll like, you know, meet somebody out there in the world, out there in the field, you know.
Oh yeah.
And it comes up that like, yeah, I'm a Washington fan, and you know, I don't know if it's like 50% of the time, but it seems like a meaningful percentage where it's like, oh, they're still the Redskins to me, and I'm always like, yeah, buddy, you know, like I'm not sure that they're still the Redskins to me. That doesn't feel right. But I also, it's like not egregious enough that I need to like, you know, start some uncomfortable conversation out there in the field.
Yeah, it's hard to explain how desperately I do not want to have that conversation. Also, because then it'll wind up with me being like, mascots are kind of stupid. Right. Like, who cares? And if you're that attached to it, it makes me more curious about you than anything else. I don't know.
There was some wild shit that I heard. It was on the Kevin Sheehan podcast. I don't know when this was that he was talking about this, but it was recent, like in the last month or two, about changing the name. I guess it had come up, and maybe it came up that like the Redskins was what they should go back to, and maybe there was a chance at that. I don't know, whatever. And he was like, you know, I have long said there's a simple solution to this.
I know what his simple solution is.
And it's that.
It's
some version of him saying it's that the dictionary definition of the word Redskin should be updated to reference the football team. And that,
yes.
And that would be that. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
The funny thing is, like, I think Sheehan mostly makes really good points. I think he's definitely a smart man. He's obviously hyper articulate.
I was only listening because I agree with you.
Yeah. I'm saying that as the lead up to the obvious, but however, this has always been, whenever he says this, I'm like, you sound like the stupidest person alive when you make this point. The idea that Jason Wright is going to go petition Merriam-Webster ? Or like dictionary.com whoever.
Just go to take it to Big Dictionary. Take it to the lobby.
And somehow just getting added in there, football team in Washington, D.C. is going to change the way people feel about this or the way it makes just the whole thing is just so baffling to me that like I I'm glad you heard it because it is so weird.
It was such a wild take.
I'm glad, so weird.
I hadn't talked to anybody about this since I heard it. I'm glad we had this conversation.
Yeah, me too. It was it's all worthwhile now.
to talk about other people's podcasts.
All the years. Yeah, well, I was going to. It was funny because when you were listening to the podcast that you do and don't listen to, I was gonna, shout out Sheehan and Kime and Standing and all those folks, but there was no point, so I didn't. But now that we've brought Sheehan up, I feel like we should mention those other people too. Hi, other people. Yeah,
there's too many. Well, that's the thing. Like, I kind of have my routine. I subscribe to a lot of these pods, but I'm friends with JP and Mitch and Burgundy Blog Bro, and I don't know. Once I've heard what they'd have to say, I don't need to hear a third and a fourth and a fifth version of it, so I'm good. I'm pretty good on that.
I know.
And I guess we would be like the seventh version or maybe the 17th or the 77th. I don't know, but we're adding to it. What else defensively is there to discuss? Do you have anything else you want to make sure we hit on before we, fail to pod for the next 6 to 7 months?
Yeah, no, it's funny to me that at some point, the defensive backs and especially the safeties turned into a strength of this team somehow, when I feel like we've been desperately trying to shore up that position for the last, I don't know how many years. But I don't know. It's just weird, right? Like that's strange that.
Yeah, it is. And I like some of these guys. They seem like good players. Yeah. I loved the play near the end before the Hail Mary when, Russell was like scrambling and trying to get out of bounds. And I think Cam Curl like chased him down and tackled him inbounds. It was a great play by Curl, but it also was like, man, Russell is washed. To not get out of bounds on that play was like, just, you could just see it.
Yes. The washed is the right word. It's a very, very ringer word, but it's the right word in this case. Russell is washed.
And St. Juice made that play that was like maybe a DPI at the end on the 2-point conversion, but I think St. Juice is pretty good.
Agreed.
Yeah. Nice to see Jamin Davis stepping up. I mean, it seemed like he was a bust, but maybe not.
Yeah.
We were led in tackles on Sunday by a player that I'm ashamed to say I've never heard of. Do you know who led the team in tackles on Sunday? He's a linebacker.
It's that other linebacker that they brought in to replace Cole Holcomb, but I'm blanking on his name.
It might as well be Cole Holcomb. It's Cody Barton.
Cody Barton, that's right. Yeah, whatever. He seems to me like just a guy who gets a bunch of tackles because he's playing like middle linebacker, and so you get a bunch of tackles.
So I totally missed that acquisition. He had 5 years under his belt with Seattle. He did have 136 tackles for the Seahawks last year. So there's that.
I would characterize him as this year's acquisition where there were people who were like, I don't know, this one might be something. It's not a big name. And like, I was kind of like, he seems okay. And since he's been playing, I'm like, yeah, he seems okay. So yeah, that is Cody my Barton ultimate verdict on this spot. Cody Barton, better at football than 99% of the people on earth and good enough to play football. That's it.
now they've got the Bills this week. Maybe it all comes crashing to the ground. If I was going to go to a Commanders game, I feel like this would be a good one to go to because I just feel like it's a beautiful time of year. The tailgating scene will be pure. At least it will be good till kickoff. And I feel like at kickoff, it's going to be a lively crowd. That said, the Commanders are still a touchdown dog at home, despite being 2-0. It's a little bit of a reality check. It's not like the Bills have looked great. They're not like fantastic. They're, a top 10, maybe top 5 team, but the 7-point favorites in your stadium.
Do you disagree at all? Are you even remotely tempted to take the points?
No, I just think it's a good reminder because I was curious what the line would be, given that, there's only so many 2-0 teams. And for them to be hosting and, I was like, I don't know. I'm curious if this is going to be like 5.5, something in that range. But I was looking at the schedule again, like before the season, I looked at the schedule and I was like, what is my expectation? Last year, they were famously not a losing team. 8-8-1.
Yep. Might as well have been a winning season by our standards.
I mean, it could be either way. It could go either way. I was looking at it and with Hal being such a wild card, before the season, I was thinking like, you know, 7-10, 8-9. But now they've started 2-0. You can't really take that away. You know, if they just do what they do, which is basically be a 500 team from here on out, or even a little bit less, go 7-8, they're going to get to 9 wins. You know, they're going to be in that playoff picture graphic in December. I don't know. My expectations have not really changed for what this team is, but to start 2-0 and to look pretty good with some of these component parts, you know, a wild card type season is not out of the question.
I mean, set your sights high, man. Live a little. That sounds great.
That seems about as high as it gets, though. I mean, the Eagles and Cowboys are both undefeated as well and look to be like Super Bowl contenders. The Commanders are not that.
The Eagles look a little bit like one of those teams that, while they should be a Super Bowl contender, they got to the Super Bowl, and it's definitely, not definitely, it appears to me to be sort of adversely affecting them.
A little hangover.
Yeah, or whatever you want to call it. That's about right. I don't know. But I don't want to do the thing where we say they, you know, hey, maybe they can go 8-8-1 again. Maybe if they really set their minds to it, they can go, you know, 9-7 or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Let's see what happens. Maybe they don't lose by too much this week. And, you know, who knows? Let's live a little. Let's dare to dream, Jamie.
Look, it's been now almost 3 full years since the high of our 7-9 division championship, in which we lost our first playoff game. It's been a while since that very high. So hopefully we can get back to the mountaintop.
I believe in us. I do.
Do you have anything else? Do you have any culture, you know, anything you want to recommend or share?
No, I definitely lack culture. There's no TV, cause everybody's on strike. So no, I got virtually nothing.
Did you ever come around on The Bear? Did you ever watch The Bear season?
I did. That is something we could touch on. I did. We went back, we finished season one. We watched season two, and it was funny because not only did I like season two a lot, as you promised I would, I also thought that right after wherever we quit on season one was where it turned pretty strong and became vastly more interesting to watch. So, yes, no, you were right about The Bear, and I was wrong about The Bear, and I should rescind my snarky tweet. It was very good in the end.
We've talked a lot about soundtracking over the years. I will sometimes just listen to, like, the Spotify The Bear soundtrack playlists. It's just a zone that I like to reside in.
I do something very similar, which is listening to REM's Monster, which is basically the same thing.
What is it, like the Strange Currency version remix, or something? Yeah, version?
Yeah. It's a good version. Great. It's really good. There's no argument. It's a terrific remix of a very good song. Other than that, no. Like, I didn't take part in the Barbenheimer thing just because I never got around to it.
I need to see Oppenheimer. We saw Barbie day one as a whole family, party of five. I was wearing a pink tank top, and let me tell you, it was fantastic. That was a fantastic theater experience.
I honestly wanted to see it. I didn't get around to it. My whole family went with friends, and everybody was very excited. I think my wife has seen it twice in theaters, and I just never got around to it. I finally saw Dunkirk. Instead of seeing Oppenheimer, I finally watched Dunkirk, and that was good.
Is Dunkirk the one that seems like one long take?
No, that's 1917.
Okay, got it.
Very natural mistake to make, however.
Yeah. Yeah, they both came out the same. It was like when Tombstone came out and then also Wyatt Earp, the same year. Yeah.
Yes. And whenever I admit to somebody that I sometimes get those confused, they are very scornful, as if I had called Magic Johnson by the wrong name.
Yeah, well, you were just being earnest. No pun intended. I'm dying over that.
I don't think I've ever brought you this much happiness in our long, long, long acquaintanceship.
Sorry.
Do you realize we've known each other for more than 15 years now?
So glad. I'm just so glad that you thought his name was Ernest, because when you said no pun intended, I was like, wait a minute.
Hang on. Let me be very clear here. I will not allow this slander to stay. I did not think his name was Ernest. I just sort of misspoke and made a dumb comment.
No, this is live kind of whatever this is, podcasting. Man,
that's us. And when you're walking a high wire act like this, it's just sometimes those things happen.
All right, man. Well, let's do this again sometime.
I'm gripped with shame, Jamie. I just have to be honest with you.
All right, thanks. And if you've made it this far out there, dear listener, just please let us know. Otherwise, yeah. I'm not sure if we'll know that anyone is actually listening.
We love you, though. If you're there,
find us on the internet. See you, Matt.
Bye.
Bye.